Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Ah, yes, the masochism tango. One of the...
The thing is, John, I have heard virtually every Tom Lear song about, some of them heard 100 times, others I've only heard a dozen times, and I still laugh.
Yes.
Unbelievable to me.
Absolutely. I mean,
first of all, how are you?
I'm doing well.
I'm a loyal listener, and I can't tell everything from that, but you sound good.
Thank you. I appreciate that coming from you. Well, I appreciate it coming. I appreciate it coming from anybody, quite frankly. But
yes.
No.
Tell me about it.
Rick Kogan, Chicago Tribune columnist, host of After Hours with Rick Kogan, 5 to 7 on Sundays here at Great Show here at 720 WGN.
Last Sunday was particularly fun for me because I don't think I've ever done it before. I played a half hour of Tom Lear in honor of his death in 97, and it gave me the chance to re-listen to literally of our lifetime one of the most remarkable songwriters. That, you know, some people go, well, Alan Sherman was funnier. I doubt that.
No, Alan Sherman was not funnier.
Alan Sherman was like a kind of happy kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, Al Yankovic was beside himself at Tom Lear's death. He really credits. I guess Weird Al is the closest.
I would think.
Anybody's ever come.
Yeah, but nobody really replicates what Tom Lear did. Yeah. I mean, such an intelligent person to begin with, just right out of the box.
He graduated from Harvard when he was 18 years old. Spent one more year there getting a master's degree, so he was like done with school when he was 19, and wound up teaching when he wasn't. His very short entertainment life lasted no more than about 6 or 7 years, and then a few later things, but. The guy only wrote and recorded 37 songs and only played 100 gigs around the world. And said, good enough for me. As you and I both know, in the entertainment business, that kind of humility and that kind of, I know I'm really famous and I could get off on being famous, but I don't need it. I'm going to go teach math.
Wow. No, I knew of his recording career, but I did not know everything that you included in your great article about him.
Thanks.
When I was in high school, my exposure to Tom Lear came from my in-laws. And I'll just say this. I'm just going to go right out and say it. They had all the Tom Lear records. They laughed and laughed. They were Republicans. Okay. And my parents were Democrats and they got along. Uh-huh. They were friends, laughed over the same stuff. And, you know,
good old days.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Lehrer wrote things that almost everybody chuckled at to a certain extent.
Sure.
God.
But you know, the topic, you know, he'd write songs about nuclear proliferation, about his most controversial song was called The Vatican Rag.
That's coming up in just a few minutes.
Oh, fantastic. It's an amazing song. Also, the other thing about him, he only had two albums. The first one, which I found fascinating, his friends at Harvard said, you know, your songs are pretty funny. And he was a great piano player, but your songs are pretty funny. You should record them. So he got a few $100, rented a studio, did 11 songs, one take for 11 songs, got the record pressed 400 copies, and began to sell them like to his buddies, and then as a mail order thing, and that first album sold probably in the first couple of years 350,000 copies.
Which is nothing.
Yes. Yeah, I know. But it got him all these, he played everywhere. The Hungry Eye. He did not play, interestingly,
yeah,
the most famous nightclub in the 50s and 60s was Mr. Kelly's on Rush and Bellevue.
I saw that in your article. I'm like, really? Whoa.
There's some stories about how he was certainly approached by the Marienthal brothers.
I'm sure. Place.
But he did not buy into it. They took him to dinner there. There's a story about they took him to dinner there, and he waited around, and they said, stay for the show, and so he did. And Anita O'Day, one of the great jazz singers of all time, was performing, and he was appalled at how the people were making noise and drinking. I don't want to perform for this crowd. What a character. What an unbelievable character.
Well, you've got a quote in here. It says, I don't feel the need for anonymous affection. If they buy my records, I love that. But I don't think I need people in the dark applauding, which is just a great quote.
But think of, your life especially, because your life is, you have met thousands and thousands of musicians and stars. Have you ever, as I said in the beginning of the thing, fame is a drug.
Oh, no doubt.
And you and I have both seen a lot of people fall and get totally addicted.
Yes.
And they hold on to it like it's terrifying. They hold on to it after they've lost, all of their gifts and all of the things that brought them fame in the first place. And that's the thing that really sort of, polished the legend of Tom Lear, that he did not need that. He wanted to teach math. Which just astonishes me. You can't even think of, here's maybe in the 50s and 60s, the hippest songwriter playing national clubs,
yeah,
and he decides to go into, with all due respect to all of you math people out there, to the nerdiest, academic pursuit.
Math. Well,
math. God.
I think this elevates the level of the math person. Tom Lehrer was into math. He went to MIT and Harvard. So, don't worry about that pocket protector. You're still cool, so to speak.
Yeah, I know. Well, and another interesting thing, I didn't even put it in there because it was too much. He went to Cannes. He had a very, his parents were very well-to-do in Manhattan.
Oh.
And he went to summer camp, and one of his summer campmates was, of all people, Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, my God.
Arguably the greatest lyricist of the 20th century.
Amazing.
And he said, there's another thing. I wish the Tribune had a magazine still. I could have written 10,000 words on this guy. That Tom Lehrer said one of the greatest moments of his life was when Stephen Sondheim introduced him, and he played at a party for Cameron McIntosh, the man who produced a show of his and also produced, Miss Saigon, Phantom of the Opera.
Yes, and yes.
He was a big deal. And the show did, there's some people I ran into after the piece appeared today who had seen, I saw the show in 1982 at the Apollo Theater, where Cameron McIntosh, tracked Tom Lehrer down and said, look, I'd like to do a review of your songs. And Lehrer said, well, it's your money. Go ahead. And the other thing, John, not to keep talking like this.
No,
the other unbelievably cool thing. The unbelievably cool thing. Because we've both been reading all these, that Bob Dylan sold his catalog.
Oh, yes.
And all
oh, my God, yes.
$300 million.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody does, because it's a lot of money out there.
Yeah.
Tom Lehrer didn't have the songbook that Dylan and McCartney had, but he had a pretty substantial song list, and he gave it all away. He put it all into the public domain. He said, anybody who wants to use my music, go ahead.
We're talking to Rick Hogan. Talking to Rick Hogan from the Tribune. We're going to take a break, and if you're a sensitive Catholic, I'm just going to warn you right now that coming up after the break will be Tom Lehrer's, we're not playing the whole song, just a very short clip of an extremely famous, and if you're in the right frame of mind, yes,
even that.
Certainly, called The Vatican Rag after this on 720 WGN. Just a brief clip of what was a very controversial song at the time, and who knows, maybe it is now, although who knows?
Oh, you can bet. I mean, if Tom, I was just thinking to myself, he did it. There was something, sort of, his satire was fairly savage, I think, and he would have been canceled so quickly if he had started doing this these days, John.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God. People would go nuts. Cause
yeah, they would.
We've lost our sense of humor, partly.
No doubt. I couldn't, you know what? I couldn't agree with you more. We're talking with Rick Hogan from the Tribune, who wrote a great column about the satirist and the MIT mathematician and the professor, Tom Lehrer. I love this part.
It's always nice to write about, and I write a lot of obituaries, and some of them are sad, but it's always, and I do mean this because we all go, it's very nice to write an obituary of a man who died at 97 years old.
Indeed.
Of natural causes. That it's kind of a goodbye letter, in a sense.
Well, you tell this really off-the-wall story about Jell-O shots?
I'm
reading your column, and I go, what?
I know. Oh, I know. I had to put that in.
Oh, it's awesome.
To show that it is awesome. It really is. Oh, you think Tom Lehrer is cool? Every kid at Lollapalooza having a Jell-O shot owes him a debt of gratitude. When he got drafted into the Army, and he served 2 years. And while he was in the Army, he figured out a way to get booze into the barracks by masking vodka and mixing it with Jell-O and putting it in little cups. And it fooled everybody in the Army when he was in there. And then he brought it back. It got further exposure, so to speak, when he brought it back and introduced it to his buddies at Harvard. And you could just imagine, John, how that in the 50s would have swept the campus. I mean, everybody, every frat house at Harvard and Cambridge would be saying, "Oh man, let's do these Jell-O shots." And that he literally is credited with the invention of the Jell-O shot. Aside from everything else he did, just puts him on a level of stardom forever, man.
You know,
stardom for me, forever.
I mean, that has got to be an answer to a trivia question somewhere down the road where somebody says, "Who invented the Jell-O shot?" Because everybody's been doing Jell-O shots for decades.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
decades and decades and decades.
I'm not sure. I know a person who has never done a Jell-O shot.
I mean, right.
Not my favorite drink, but I
know what you're saying.
My share.
It's something
that tens and hundreds of millions of people have had. I mean, way more. He could be, if he had ever taken advantage of that somewhere along the line, let's say he never played music, and he tried to capitalize on the fact that he invented the Jell-O shot. He would have been 10 times more famous than he was as a musician.
it takes the Tom Lehrer image and it just stands on its head, so to speak, in a really good way. In a very good way.
Yeah. And there's a guy named Gerald Nachman who's written one of the great books about comedy called Seriously Funny, The Rebel Comedians of the 50s and 60s. If you can find it, it's a great book. It's very detailed about people like Tom Lehrer and Mort Saul and Shelley Berman and Alan Sherman. I mean, it's a terrific. Mel Brooks, a terrific book, and reminds me of how really freewheeling comedy used to be. And now, there's Jon Stewart getting canceled. Stewart was not my cup of tea, but he's certainly had a following, and we're a weird society, John.
Yeah,
weird society.
I'm a big Jon Stewart fan, and I would get off. They're on hiatus right now, and they're owned by CBS Paramount, I believe. So, anything can happen. But I would get off the air at 10 o'clock. I asked my wife. The first thing I did when I got home was I would record the Daily Show, simply so I could feel like there was some sort of humorous sanity in the world today.
And now look what happened. Now look what's happened.
I got to say, too, it's gotten really vicious by everybody. I mean,
oh, I'm sure.
Even Colbert, it's like, you know, they're punching. They're punching now. It's like, you know, they're out for blood.
Oh, and that's no question.
That's not funny to me, anyway.
No, it's not funny. Not funny. So all you people out there, because Tom Lehrer gave his songs away for free, there still remains a wonderful website called Tom Lehrer Songs, and it has all of his songs, and it has all of the lyrics to all of his songs, and he is playing his music, which makes it right now the greatest website in the world.
What is it again? I'm going to write it down. What is it again?
It's Tom Lehrer, and for those of you out there, he spelled the last name L-E-H-R-E-R.
Yeah.
And it's TomLehrerSongs.com.
Got it.
It's very simple.
Check it out. It's good. It'd be well worth it. You're going to be the pro.
Oh, my God.
If you have a dinner party or something, yes. Yeah.
Well, that's why, you know, I remember that long before I understood the words. It's something like the Vatican rag. Or send the Marines, or poisoning pigeons in the park. Or I hold here. The Beatles became famous for "I Want to Hold Your Hand" and one of their first hits. Everybody out there, you go listen to Tom Lehrer's song called "I Hold Your Hand in Mine" about a dead girlfriend who died. That's all I'm saying. And you played "Masochism Tango," which is another good song.
The
controversial one beside the Vatican Rite was poisoning pigeons in the park. A sensation. There's another one called "So Long, Mama," about a guy going off to fight World War III. Just an astonishing collection of stuff, and it will keep you. Well, sorry, folks, it's only 37 songs, but if you become like me and John too, you'll listen to all of them dozens of times. It will fill up all your free time.
Rick, thank you so much.
I'm so glad you asked me to come on. It was my pleasure, John.
Always great to have you on, Rick. Thank you.
We share similar age and similar.
Yep, that's right.
Similar history.
We do indeed. Thanks, Rick.
Say hello to your daughter for me, will you?
I sure will. There he is, Chicago Tribune columnist and host of After Hours with Rick Kogan, 5 to 7 p.m. Sundays. And such a really talented, smart, great person Rick Kogan is, who's been writing wonderful stuff for Chicagoans to read for a long, long time, and hopefully will continue to do so for a long, long time.